chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. When you find your place there in Malachi chapter 3, back up about a quarter of an inch in your Bible and pages and get Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11, Malachi chapter 3, and Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I don't know if there's anybody here tonight that this is the first time that you've ever been to this church. I don't know. Hope not. Hope you've been here before. We're going to have a very, very unusual message tonight. Very unusual, but I'm not making any excuses for it, but it's going to be unusual. I tried to get out of it. Just a while ago, I said, Lord, I'd just like to preach a good old evangelistic message and maybe something on the blood or the Bible or heaven or Jesus. And the Lord just kept bringing me back to this scripture here, and things like this just have to be done. I'm going to preach to you about money. Money tonight. Money. Now, you know how come I don't like to do that? Because before I got saved, I only went to one church just once in a while. And I never heard that preacher say anything except money. He said a lot more. That's all I heard. And the devil used that on me. And I said, well, that's all them preachers talks about money. Now, the truth was, he talked about a lot more than money. But the devil just made sure I heard that one thing. And so ever since I've been preaching, I've kind of shied away from that type of thing. I've been in some churches where it's just constantly, every week, tithes and offering, tithes and offering. And I've backed off because of that. But as a minister of the gospel, we have a command to preach everything in here, the whole book of God. And so I make no apology tonight for preaching on scriptural giving. Even just because some people have went overboard on it and some preachers have gone to seed on just money and dollar bills in their eyes and signs does not mean that we as God's people should just ignore it. Just like the charismatics clap their hands and we want to sit like a bunch of dry hides because somebody thinks we're charismatic. We shouldn't let them steal from us what God's give us. See? And that's what God's give us. We shouldn't let them steal it. And so tonight, I'm going to preach a message on what we need to do here at this church. I believe with all my heart that we're supposed to do. Been a long time coming. Months coming. It'll not be long, the message that is. And I'm just going to say a few things that I believe the Lord would have us to do. Everywhere I go, people say, what are you going to do up there? Nowhere to sit. Nowhere to park. You can't move. And I've had 15 different people say, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? But there's only one problem. There's only one problem with everybody's advice, or most people's advice. Most people think you operate a church like you operate a grocery store. You're like a business. Now, in a business mind tonight, it would seem foolish for us to do what we're planning on doing. Being crazy. Don't make sense. But you can't operate a church like you do a grocery store. It's God's work. And God can tell people to do some of the most foolish things ever was, but they turn out right. Just as long as you're sure you're doing what God wants. Don't you think it's mighty foolish when God told them people to march around Jericho and march around them walls, and somebody come around them and said, well, that's crazy. You can't win a battle like that. You got to get guns. You got to get cannons. You got to get bullets. Nobody ever won a battle just marching. They said, that's all God said to do is march. And you know what they done? They shouted and the walls fell. Now, if it had been most of us, we'd have wanted the walls to fall and then we'd have shouted. They shouted, God knocked the walls down. And so tonight, I want to preach to you what I believe personally, and all the men that even act interested believes that we should do here as a church. Very special message. Never preached on this before in my life, just like this. Don't even have an outline as such. but just a few points the Lord's given us. In Malachi 3, the Lord told this nation here in verse 7, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." What's the matter of the United States tonight, among many other things? Rob God. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Don't give half of them to a guy on the street. Bring them all into the storehouse, that there be meat, maybe meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Now listen here, the new manna. If I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there be, shall be not room, to receive it. How many of you would like for the Lord to pour out a blessing on this church that we couldn't even handle? Wouldn't that be a blessing? All right, He'll do it if we'll do what He said here in the Word of God. He'll do it. Look at the next verse. You afraid somebody's going to mow our building down? "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." I use this as a subject tonight. Will a man rob God? Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this privilege and opportunity we have once again to be able to bow here in Your presence and call You our Father. God, I thank You tonight, Lord, for the Bible. I thank You, Lord, for the church. I thank You, God, for this building that You've given the church to meet in. God, I thank You, Lord, for the songs of Zion, for the shouts of praise. God, for the prayers and for the offering that's been given tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that You'd touch our mind, our throat, our body, our soul tonight. God, that we declare the Word of the Lord without fear, without favor, or without compromise. May Your will be done in this service tonight. Give us that special anointing that we need, Lord, to declare Thy Word. Do what needs to be done. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. And Lord, help us, God, we pray. Give us strength, we ask. In Jesus' name, meet the need. Amen. You think a man would rob God? I know there's a lot of people get caught for stealing in Thrifty Mart and Sky City and Hash Teeter and Uptown and Moore's and Belk's. And I guess time, as long as time goes, and as long as the Lord don't come, people are going to be caught for stealing. And that's a terrible thing. One time I was up at Bergen Hardware, and I bought a basketball net in another store, and Lord is my witness, I really did pay for it. And I'm awful bad when I buy something in the store to just throw the bag down, receipt and everything, stick it in my hand, pocket, and walk out. I stuck my pocket somewhere out, roses or somewhere, and I had it in my coat pocket like this. And I went in down there at Bergen Hardware, and I was looking around, and I was looking at all the stuff they had. And as I started walking out of the store, somebody said, "Hey, come here a minute." And boy, I turned around and thought, what do they want? I said, "What you got in your pocket there?" And I pulled it out, and it was embarrassing. People standing around there. And I said, "Well, it's a basketball net." He said, "You pay for that?" And I showed him. I said, "No, this ain't even this store, honest. I paid for it. I really did." So I went down the street here, and he finally let me go. And I felt just a little bit of embarrassment what a thief would have when they'd got caught. You know, I thought about that, and it would sure be embarrassing to me if they called my house tonight and hauled me in up here at the district court in Marion and set me up there, and the judge looked at me and he said, "Danny Castle, I fine you $500. You are guilty of stealing something out of the courthouse." That would be, and people sitting there, well, I'd hang my head in shame. And it'd come out in the paper, and it'd be, that would be terribly embarrassing. But you know, tonight that wouldn't be half as embarrassing as getting up before the judgment one day before God, and the holy judge look at you And the prosecutors say, he robbed you. God, this man robbed you while he was here on earth. According to the Bible, if you're not giving God his tithe and your offering, you are robbing God. You might as well, when these offering plates comes around, you might as well just reach in there and, oh, look at that, I got a 10, and stick it in your pocket. You might as well just do that as to hold back giving what God and what belongs to him. Ain't no difference whatsoever. Next Sunday morning when the offering plate comes by you, if you're not a tither, reach in there and get you $25 or $30. You say, no, sir, preacher, I couldn't do that. I'd be stealing. It ain't no different than keeping it in your pocket and not giving it after God's blessed you with making a living. It ain't a bit of difference in the world. I've heard people give every kind of excuse in the world for not being a scriptural giver. And I tell you what tonight, I can tell whether or not you're right with God by how you take this message. You can put on grin at me and shake my hand and put on the awfulest act ever was. But if I start preaching on this and you swell up on me, I'll tell you, brother, you're already backslid. If you wasn't, you would agree with what I'm saying. The Bible said you've robbed God in tithes and an offering. Now there's three kinds of givers in the church. The flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. The only way you can get anything out of the flint, hit him. The only way you can get out of the thing out of the sponge is squeeze it. But a honeycomb just a fool, it just runs over. And God just bless him and he keeps a shelling it out. I tell you tonight, I'd want to be a honeycomb. Just like your giving is a thermometer of your love of the Lord. I said to you this morning that God loveth a cheerful giver. He also accepteth from a grouch. A lady asked me one time, or man, I forget which one it was. He said, now, Brother Danny, don't the Bible say God loves a cheerful giver? And I said, yeah, that's what the Bible said. And he said, well, listen, I don't want to give my tithes. And I said, yeah, well, okay. And he said, I give it grudgingly. And he said, I really don't want to give it, but I give it. And he said, I just decided I'd keep it. And he said, is that right for me to do? He said, if I really don't feel good giving it, would I be better off just keeping it? And I said, no, 1,000 times no. Because that way you're committing 2 sins. The other way you're just committing 1. If you go ahead and put it in, and yet, good night, I wish I had that back. You're only committing 1 sin, grudging. But if you keep it, you're committing 2 sins. You're grudging and you're not putting it in. You're a lot better off just go ahead and give it whether you want to or not. Now you're still sinning either way, but you're only committing 1 instead of 2. Now so tonight, I want to talk to you about benefits of giving to God. Now you've never heard me preach a message like this. Nobody in here because I ain't never preached one. I've preached about 3 times on tithing since this church has been started. And God's always blessed us financially. And we've come a long way. And the Lord has blessed us. But by the way, y'all don't know how lucky you are. I mean, I know I ain't the best preacher in the world, but I tell you, I've been to some churches where preachers just beat people over the head all the time. Just money, 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 money. And you better be thankful you go to a church where you hear something preached on besides money. You better be thankful you go to a church where you hear something preached on besides drinking or besides running around. You better be thankful that there's more of a balanced diet served here than what you might hear in somewhere else. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about giving. I tell you tonight, there may be some people who don't love their church. I guess I love this church with all of my heart. I do. This church, next to my family, is the dearest thing on this earth to me. There's nothing any more dear to my family and my Bible than this church. I love it. I have no intentions of quitting. Some of you was hoping I was about to resign, didn't you? I have no plans whatsoever. I tell you, brother, none at all. If they called me, I don't know if I say that or not, but if a First Baptist called me tomorrow morning and they said, Brother Danny, will you come be our pastor? They'd say, we'll give you $10,000 a week. We'll buy you a brand new Cadillac. We'll put you in the awfulest mansion ever was. We'll do this and we'll do that. You know what I'd say? I'd say I'll come if all the rest of my church can come with me. And we'll just swap buildings, let you have this one, and we'll move up there. But other than that, I'd say nothing doing. Nothing doing. Nothing doing. You know why? Because I love my church. I don't love it because I'm the preacher. I love it because I'm a part of it. And because God's placed me here. I don't love it because I'm the pastor. I love it And I love my church. And I'm willing to fight for my church. And I'm willing to stand up for my church. And I'm willing, if anybody out there in the community starts running down my church, I'm ready to take up for my church. I'm ready to take up for brothers and sisters in the church that I belong to. I'm ready. Now tonight, some of you owe a greater debt. Some of you owe a greater debt. I'm not trying to heap a bunch of condemnation on you. I just want to remind you tonight, I didn't get saved here. Some of you didn't get saved here. But do you realize that if it were not for this church, some of you people here tonight could be in hell. You could be in hell if it were not. Now I'm not saying you would. I'm not saying we're the only soul church that went in soul. I'm just saying there's a possibility if it were not for this church, somebody in here could be in hell right now. And no favor ought to be too great for you to do for the church of the living God that Jesus used and Jesus died for and He's coming back for, the church of the living God. The man told me the other day, he said, we're starting little Bible studies over in my living room. And I said, why don't you just go to church? I mean, ain't nothing wrong with studying the Bible in your living room, but you ought to go to church. All right, I want to tell you some things about the church tonight. I heard a man that said one time, he said, money, 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 money. That's all I ever hear at church. More money, more money, more money. And another guy looked back at him and he said, I had a boy, and it was money all the time. Money for shoes, money for a bicycle, money for clothes, money for school, money for this, money for that. And you know, my boy, in over a year, my boy didn't ask me for a dime. And the other man looked back at him and said, why? He said he died. A church that don't need no money is dead. Of course, some of them got a lot of it and don't need none. They're dead anyway. But I want you to know something. If the day we quit needing money, brother, is the day we done died. You know that? I mean, a little old kid that don't have to have some shoes and don't have to have some new clothes and don't have to go to the dentist and don't have to go to the doctor and don't have to do this. That kid's dead if he don't need some money once in a while. And the same is true of a church. Many people, many problems in churches over money. But if people will give right, 90% of those problems will dissolve. The Bible said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I heard of a man one time that made a big salary. He gave $1 a month to the church. Now listen, I'm going to tell you a story. This man made a big salary. He gave $1 a month to the church. And he went around one day and he said, I like our preacher. He ain't one of these that just continually harps on money, money, money. Well, about that time, that Sunday morning, the preacher got up and he preached on money. That old boy got mad and quit. There's another couple sitting there that morning. They come to the altar and ask God to forgive them. They said, oh God, we're going to start tithing. They owned a little flower shop. They started giving 10% of every dime they made to the work of God. And you know what God did? God looked down from heaven and blessed them, blessed their business abundantly. And years later, that preacher said that every year he received a flower and a bunch of roses from that couple. And they said, preacher, we appreciate you telling us that we ought to tithe, and we've been doing it ever since, and God's blessed us. Now you see how two different people can react to to the same message? One old boy get mad and quit the church, and another one send the preacher roses for 20 years because they appreciate what he said. You know, people's funny, ain't they? You can have two people come to church, they both hear the same message, one of them gets mad and quits, and the other one has a shouting spell. That tells a little bit about how them two people's are living. I mean, the guilty dog always barks. And if you hear somebody griping about what the preacher said, mark it down, 99 times out of 100, they was guilty of what he's preaching on. Did you know you're crazy if you get mad at me for something I preach that you do? It ain't my fault you do it. What if I preached on going to work on Saturday evening? I said you ought not to do it, and you did it. Wouldn't be my fault. What are you getting mad at me for? That's like I said, like a woman getting mad and smashing her mirror because it shows her the wrinkles in her face. It ain't the mirror's fault. And if the preacher shows you your sin, it's not his fault. The Word of God's a mirror. And you see yourself as the preacher preaches. I've been to hear preachers preach, and I just sit there and say, oh, I killed. And what it was, what he said, I was guilty of. And it wasn't that I didn't have nothing against the guy. It just what he was saying was hitting me, and I couldn't stand it. Well, I want to say some things about tithing tonight. And I want to say some things about giving. First of all, the Bible teaches it. Some say it's Mosaic law and been done away with. They forgot to read Genesis, where Abraham tithed before Moses was ever born. Leviticus 27:30 tells us the definition of a tithe. It's one tenth. Turn there and look at it with me if you will. I'll not ask you to turn to many verses, but look at Leviticus chapter 27, and I want to show you one verse of Scripture right quick. This will help you. Leviticus 27, and look at verse number 30. Definition of the tithe. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and in Acts they gave more than a tithe. They gave 100%. In the book of Acts, the one that didn't got killed. You think about that. They gave more unto grace than the Old Testament did under the law. Now, he said in verse 30 of Leviticus 27, and all the tithe of the land. What is a tithe, preacher? Whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem out of his tithes, he shall add the fifth part thereto. Stop right there just a second. That means if you start borrowing from your tithes, and you're going to pay the Lord back next month, that you don't forget to add a fifth part to it. All right? Verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth. That's a definition. Shall be holy unto the Lord. If I go to work and I mow somebody's grass and they give me $10, there's a $10 bill. They say, Brother Danny, there is you $10, that's yours. $1 of that 10 is holy. It's holy unto God. It's holy. And if I take that dollar and buy me a milkshake, or if I take that dollar and buy my wife something, I take that dollar and pay my bills. It's no different from me sneaking in here at night and breaking in here to the tape room and stealing me some tapes and going out and selling them for a dollar. And there's no difference whatsoever. You don't give your tithes, brother. It already belongs to God. You don't give God your tithe. It's His tithe. He owned it before you made it. And besides, that's not very much to ask from somebody that gives you every breath of air you breathe. That's not very much to ask from somebody who keeps your heart beating every day of your life. That's not very much for a man that let him beat crown of thorns in his head and blood run down the old rugged cross to keep you out of a burning fire. My soul, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we just give a 10%. I run into some of these skin plants. They make $127, they give $12.70. Son, they got it figured out to the penny. You ever met anybody like that? I mean, tighter than a bark on a tree, brother. I made $127 this week, Lord. Get my calculator and figure out 10% of that. Well, good night. If you're that stingy, you ought to just come to the altar and ask the Lord to help you. Just throw in a little extra. And I want to tell you something. I ain't getting a dime of this, what we're going to do tonight. I ain't up here saying that it should be so done unto me. No! The Lord's been better to me than I'll ever deserve. I'm just telling you to teach you how it is to give scripturally and give righteously, and God will bless you if you won't be a tightwad. Well, I want to tell you something. You can tell when you start backsliding. I come to her. Getting cold on God a few years ago. Well, man, I've been cold on God a lot of times. You know what I mean? Real cold. I can truthfully say that ever since I've been preaching, I never, by the grace of God, never just throw my Bible down and said, I'm just going to go live for the dead. But there's been a lot of times when I got cold. And I mean cold. There was a time a few years ago when I wanted to serve God, but I was so frustrated. And my faith was so weak that I just got to doing what I was done out of duty instead of love. And for several months there, I just got disappointed and I got discouraged. And it seemed like God wouldn't, when I prayed, nothing would happen. And it seemed like in during that time, a lot of you people were worried about me. And I don't blame you. I would have been too. I was worried about myself. And I appreciate your concern. And I thank God for Christian brothers and sisters that said, Brother Danny's discouraged. I'm going to help him along. I thank God for it. But you know the first thing I wanted to do? You know, one of the first things I caught myself doing that showed me something was wrong in my heart spiritually. I'd always give about $10 a week above my tithe. And I caught myself cutting it down to $5. I thought, what's the matter with me? I've been doing this for years. And I said, well, 10%, and I need the rest of it. And I said, Brother Danny, I'm ashamed of you. Well, I need it too. And the next thing you know, I caught myself just wanting to give just a tithe. One day I said, Lord, I'm backslid. You say, oh, Brother Danny, you backslid? Yeah, I backslid. Listen, if you're this far for God, and then next week you're this far for God, you're backslid. You don't have to go all the way back out there and sin to be backslid. I mean, one step back, man, you're backslid. And I took steps back. And I said, Lord, I still want to live for you, but I caught myself doing this. Lord, I still want to live for you. And bro, I was wobbling, and I was going back and forth. But the first thing I noticed, and by the way, if you ever saw me do something or say something that hurt your confidence in me and that hurt the confidence of people in this church, I want to say publicly to you tonight, I apologize to you. I apologize. I pray to ask the Lord to forgive me. I apologize to you. I don't want anything in my life hurting somebody's confidence in me or this church. And I can't go back and undo anything, but I can tell you I'm sorry. That's all I can do. And I want to tell you, I can do the same thing for you. There's been plenty of people come to me and say, Brother Danny, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, you don't have to tell me you're sorry. They just said, I believe I just feel better if I do. Well, that's the way we are a lot of times. We feel like we let our brothers down. We feel like we let our sisters down. And a lot of times the preacher likes to play God like he never does nothing wrong. But I want to tell you, it ain't that way. My heart's got cold. My heart's got... You know what I had to do? I had to find me an old altar and pray and say, God, warm my heart back up again. And brother, I just want to give double next week just to show the devil. If the devil comes along to you and says, cut it down, I'll tell you how to get rid of it. Bump it up. If he says, cut it off $5 this week, Rick, if he says that to you, put in 10 extra. And the devil, he ain't going to say that to you no more. He'll say, I ain't fooling that boy. He's liable to give everything he's got if I mess with him. And so tonight, that the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Every time you do what the devil says, that makes you that much weaker to do what he says again. The Bible teaches it. The Bible teaches it in the New Testament. Jesus said over there in Scribes, Matthew 23, he said, you have left off the weightier matters of the law. He said, you have tithed this and that and the other. He said, I ain't fussing at you for that. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. The Lord said, it's not wrong. You've done the right thing by tithing. Just don't leave off judgment, love, and faith, and the weightier matters of the law. God has prospered you. God has blessed you. You know, by the world standards tonight, everybody in here is rich. We like to pour mouth around, and we like to bellyache around, and we like to let on like how hard we're having it, and we're just barely making it. But by the world standards tonight, every person in this church is rich. Did you know most of the world went to bed hungry last night? Most of the world went to bed without a good meal. Here we are sitting here tonight in an air-conditioned building. And most of you got here in cars. If you didn't, you could have. There's people in the world that don't have no cars to ride to church. Those people in the world that just get a little bowl of soup every day to live off of. God's blessed us. Man, we eat hamburgers and we eat cheeseburgers and we eat Big Macs and we eat the beef, you know. Where's the beef? It's in our gut. Most of the time, I tell you, brother, we go to the Western Steer, we go to McDonald's, we go to the store, and we get bologna. That's preacher's ham. And brother, we have all kind. We get chicken, and we get corn, and we get beans, and we have a variety of food in our refrigerator. If the average person in the world could see, they'd say, just couldn't believe it. Somebody said, if you got one of them people out of other countries and took them into one of our modern day shopping centers and said, set them down in the grocery store with that big aisle of fruit, that they'd think they'd died and went to heaven. They couldn't believe how much God's blessed us here. Yet we seem to be the stingiest people with what God has blessed us with. We need to make up our minds tonight what is important to us. In India, a little old child gave one penny. This bought a tract. That tract was placed in a box. It went to a headhunter. The headhunter got saved. They started a church. And since then, 1,500 natives have got saved because of one little kid that gave one penny. The Bible said, he that regardeth the wind shall not sow. The Bible said, sow the seed. Put it out. Cast your bread on the water. Now, if you're observing the wind, you ain't going to sow. You're going to be saying, oh, Lord, school will be starting pretty soon. Oh, no, I got to pay this. Oh, no, I got to pay that. This thing a preacher can do is go in debt. I didn't believe it then. I believe it now. We say, well, I need this. This ain't $4 a month. And I need that, and that ain't $50 a month. And I need that, and that ain't... And then we go bellyaching about being broke. It ain't no wonder we're broke. We don't know how to handle our money. Have you ever noticed it's the same ones that's broke all the time? And the same ones got money all the time? You know what that means? They ain't managing it right. You can't go out here and buy everything you lay your eyes on. You can't buy everything in the Sears catalog and everything you see uptown and go in debt just right and left. You this, you that. Now, if you can afford it and it can fit in your budget and you're going to have a lot left over, glory to God, more power to you. I wish you all would buy you a brand new brick house. But if you can't afford it, leave it alone. You'll backslide quicker than anything getting in yourself head over heels in debt. How many homes do you think's been tore up because of no money to spend? Arguing about the bills, the bills, the bills, the bills. There's been people gone to get divorces over just not enough money to make ends meet. Well, I'm not going to hold you long tonight. Just want to mention a few things. And then we're going to do what we said we'd do. It pays to give to God. John D. Rockefeller, at an early age, his mother taught him to give. He only made $2.50. He started tithing it. He became a millionaire. Crowell, the founder of Quaker Oats Company, done the same thing. William Colgate, does that name sound familiar? Toothpaste? Went to New York to make a fortune. God blessed him, and he gave millions of dollars to the work of God. You know why God can't bless some people? Because if you're making $100 a week, and you won't give 10. If you made $1 million, you wouldn't give 10,000, whatever that is. What would be that? 100,000. Lord. We got any millionaires in here? I'll just stop right now. Let's go and be dismissed. That'd fix us right up right there. But we ain't. I don't reckon. We find out you are, we'll everyone jump on you and beat the devil out of you. Holding out on us all these years. The Lord will bless you spiritually. Hey, I want to tell you something. Did you know the best soul winners tithe? Matter of fact, I don't even know any soul winners that don't tithe. I know about people that win souls. I ain't talking about this Sunday morning Christian. I know about somebody that lives for God. You know the shouters tithe? You boys better not be up here shouting if you don't tithe. You ought to sit down and shut up. Of course, I believe they do. I believe every one of them do. If they don't, they sure got me fooled. And I don't follow them around checking up on them every week. That's between them and God. I ain't in the FBI work. I'm just called to preach. That's between them and God, whether they do or not. But I believe they do. They sure ain't got no business shouting if they don't. I mean, if a man don't help carry his part of the load, he ought even not to use the toilet paper in the bathroom. Go outside. If you won't help us pay for the commode, sit out in the woods. Now, if you're not a Christian, that don't count to you. And if you're just a visitor, that don't count to you. But if you come here to this church and you're not willing to help pay your part and carry your share, you are not to get to use a toilet paper. Or drink out of the water fountain. It's like we're all carrying a big wagon up a hill. Where everyone, we're trying to push a wagon up a hill. And it's got a bunch of sinners in it. We're trying to get them saved. And we're all just pushing. I'm sweating, boy. I'm sweating. I've sweated every day. And the days when I'm not up here preaching, I'm out trying to do something else about it. I go 7 days a week. I ain't ashamed to take my paycheck when Tony hands it to me on Sunday night. I don't even feel guilty about it. I don't deserve it. But I tell you one thing, I ain't ashamed to take it. You know why? I go 7 days a week. I put in more hours this week than anybody in this church. And I ain't preaching something to you I don't practice personally. I'm going to tell you tonight, we're sweating, trying to push a wagon up a hill, trying to get sinners saved before the Lord comes back. Before they won't go to hell. And we got some just standing around saying, I don't even like the way you're pushing. Well, smarty pants, get in here and help us. Help! Help! The grippers are the ones that ain't a-doing nothing. I feel like I'm preaching in a revivalist. Don't feel like our church. I usually don't say stuff like this to our church. I don't like to think that we'd be guilty of such a thing. I think it'd be beneath us to be guilty of such a thing. I guess I'd be surprised if I knew, wouldn't I? Well, the best soul winners tithe. The people who get their prayers answered tithe. The people who really got joy tithe. The people who got peace with God tithe. The Bible said in Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Didn't say his body, his soul. Fat soul, glory to God. A rich soul. You'd be surprised how you can make it off 90%. I tell you what, when I had that old van, I believe honest, some of my tires had 400,000 miles. I know that's stretching a little bit, but it seemed like them things just go and go and go and go. I mean, on, and I don't see how they done it. And you say, well, Brother Danny, I didn't put my tires in 1 week. Had a flat on Monday and had to go buy a brand new tire and radio busted on it. You say, you don't really think, I don't know. The Lord can keep you out of a lot of messes if you'll do what you're supposed to. I heard some preachers say the Lord will get it one way or the other. Now, I don't really know about that. I guess He will. I don't know. But I've heard testimonies where people said, I started holding back on God and I quit giving. I thought I needed it for myself. I thought I couldn't pay my bills if I didn't tithe. And next thing I know, I was in such a financial mess, I never had to go bankrupt. I mean, if you can't make it off $90, you ain't going to make it off $100. You've robbed God! Well, I think we ought to tonight just take these things into consideration. What is tithing? Mathematically, it's a tenth. Scripturally, it's a law. Morally, it's a debt. Economically, it's an investment. Spiritually, it's a blessing. I've heard of people giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. But there's nothing you can do like giving to God. $1 for your lunch lasts your belly 5 hours. $1 for a cap lasts your head 5 months. $1 for an automobile lasts you 5 years. $1 invested in a railroad will last you 5 decades. But $1 invested in God's work will last an eternity. And you keep getting rewards for it from now on, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it never runs out. Well, I'm going to hush now. The Lord said, cast your bread on the waters. And you'll find it after many days. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. This has been a very unusual message. I'm not through yet. I'm not going to have any singing, any music. We're going to the Lord in prayer right quick. We're so glad to have Brother Tony Parker with us tonight, and Teresa. And I'm going to ask Brother Tony to lead us in the Lord in prayer, and then we're going on with the service. Brother Tony.